5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College.
Houston Community College. Start here. Go anywhere.
Live from the 1560 Studios, high atop the Gow Building, overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome in, soccer fans, to Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM as we talk all things Houston Dynamo, Houston Dash, and world football. Today we'll tap in a little bit to the Mexican League with some ties concurrent with the Houston Dynamo. The Dynamo coming off a 3-1 loss to Real Salt Lake in action this Sunday. They will go to Philadelphia, essentially Chester, Pennsylvania, and they will take on the Philadelphia Union. And again, a huge game for the Dynamo here. I hate to use the cliched must win, but all of these are games in the big picture, and time relative to matches left slowly shrinking here for the Dynamo if they're going to get in the playoffs. We'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. We'll talk about the Dynamo loss to RSL and kind of a couple of things that we glean out of that game. Plus, get you caught up again on all things Dynamo. We speak to the manager, Owen Coyle. We will have striker Kubo Torres on. Giles Barnes will join us here tonight. We will continue to get the opinions of all the players. And Houston Dash team MVP, and she's had a great second year, Kalia Ojai, will also join the program tonight. Streaming at YSR1560.com. You can always get the podcasts over at ESPN975.com. You click on the audio vault. You click on Soccer Matters. We get these podcasts up as quick as possible, and you'll find all the podcasts to either Soccer Matters or Dynamo All Access there. And we also want to remind you to get over to Facebook.com. Lots of information about Dynamo All Access, Soccer Matters, and topics to debate. You can follow me at Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, and all your tickets for the Dynamo and Dash at HoustonDynamo.com. So let's recap the Dynamo RSL match, which was the first of four matches and the first of three at home that we kind of put a circle around, saying, look, if the Dynamo can pick up 9 points out of these four matches, hopefully all three wins at home, they could really begin to crystallize their position in the playoffs. But after this one now, the next three matches are going to be very telling after the loss to Real Salt Lake if the Dynamo are truly going to make a playoff push. Now, remember, I have always said this year with all the change, and I constantly remind you of this because, you know, we sometimes get calls from people wondering why the Dynamo, you know, aren't dominating Major League Soccer or not playing better from a results standpoint. And I quickly remind you that this is a remake. It's a rebuild. It's been that way for me from the beginning, and it's not over either. I don't think there's any question. The manager has hinted that there's going to be more change. He's trying to make the team more his own and in his vision of a purpose of play and the way it wants to be presented, and that's not something you can do very easily in Major League Soccer. You just can't go in and make a ton of changes. So the offseason is going to be very important. There's a number of players out of contract, and there's going to be players that are going to go. I don't think there's any question, and that would then lead me to say that there are players at this point of the season on every team in Major League Soccer playing for jobs. This is professional sports. And if you are a fan and you're considering who should come back and who shouldn't, that's part of being a fan as well. Now, coming into this game against RSL at BBVA Compass Stadium, the Dynamo were unbeaten in eight matches in all competitions at home. So everybody was really optimistic. Myself, Eddie Robinson, when we got to the booth that day at the stadium, you know, feeling really good about getting a result against Real Salt Lake. Now, we also did that with indelibly etched in our mind the worry of Javier Morales. Because remember last year, the Dynamo leaked a lot of goals last year. Javier Morales hit for a hat trick in a 5-2 win. He scored 15 seconds in at BBVA Compass Stadium. 35-year-old Argentine playmaker, came back from a very severe injury. But now he's got his running mate back in this game against the Dynamo, João Plata, who's been out injured a lot this year, little Ecuadorian, whose movement pulls people off of Morales, whose movement pulls apart defenses. So players like Javier Morales, if they get on the ball a lot, can thread the eye of a needle with passes and create. So he plays a part in all three goals against the Dynamo. And you know, without a doubt, that Javier Morales, in a Dynamo locker room, by the manager Owen Coyle, is spoken about. He is every single game because so much comes off of him. So much dictating a rhythm of a tempo and tempo of a game come from Javier Morales. So the idea, I'm sure, take the edge off him, push him into areas where he's less dangerous, et cetera, protect sort of the hole in front of a back four and behind a midfield. It was a struggle for the Dynamo. And then you add in the X factor, which we also mentioned on Root Sports, which was Juan Burrito Martinez, the 29-year-old DP from Argentina. He got his first start. He lived up to it. This is a player that played at Boca Juniors. This is a player that played at Corinthians. He's not a designated player that Real Salt Lake says has to have a whole lot of time to adjust to Major League Soccer. Thrust in there to make a difference right away, and he did. And it's going to be interesting to see where RSL goes. Martinez was playing like it was a World Cup final. And there's always an initial, excitement and proving out of players that are competitive like this. Remember when Boniac Garcia came. Remember when Luis Garrido came. Their best soccer, in my mind right now, has played the first 10 or 11 games they were here. RSL for me, though, from the kickoff, was the aggressor. And I'm saying, come on, Dynamo. This is your home. Where is the edge? Where is the personality here? Because you knew this was coming from Real Salt Lake. This was a win. This was a must-win game for them at the bottom of the Western Conference at the start of this game. Yet, being the aggressor and having the better of the possession, the Dynamo were the team that got the first good chance. It was Ricardo Clark, who would then be denied by Nick Raimondo. But Clark got in after some wonderful interplay from the Dynamo around the box. Raimondo would make the save. Then a non-closing attitude. A non-closing attitude. I mean by that the Dynamo don't close the half out. Get into the locker room 0-0. Allow a manager to talk to a team and sort of reboot them. And, of course, the stoppage time goal, a rebound pounced on by Morales, puts the Dynamo in a place now where they're chasing the game. And that first tactical changing goal would come to Real Salt Lake. It would sound like this on Root Sports.
Morales, plus the top of the box here. The Dynamo need to get aware here. A shooting opportunity. What a save, Derek. It needs to be cleared, and it's not. It's stuffed in by the one and only Javier Morales. He has done it again to the Houston Dynamo, and he does it in stoppage time.
Now on to the second half, and the Dynamo came storming out of the locker room. I mean, it was like the charge of the Light Brigade. The Dynamo came out flying, get a ball wide. Beautiful delivery. Brad Davis had a full sprint, gets on the end of it, pounds the header. It's going into the side netting. Everybody thinks it's a goal, including me in the booth. And guess what? Nick Raimondo with a sleight-of-hand save. I mean, this was Houdini-like. He picks it out of the corner. Now, that was another moment you put a circle around, can change a game. But there's always those moments in every game, generally, for most teams. Shortly after that, like we see so often in soccer, Devin Sandoval then gets the game's second goal for Real Salt Lake. And again, Morales is involved in the buildup. And here's what it sounded like on Root Sports.
Beckerman, Morales in a good pocket of space. Early ball, Plata. John Plata, be careful here. The Dynamo in trouble. Derek with a big save. It's smashed in. It's Devin Sandoval. It's goal number two. Only his second of the year. And the Dynamo are in real trouble here at BBVA Compass Stadium.
The Dynamo, though, would get their entree back into this game. Now, this was a poor referee's decision. You know me. I'm not a homer when it comes to calling games and decision. If I think it's a penalty or not, I'm going to say what's in my heart. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I think this was a harsh one on Real Salt Lake. But you know what? This happens in the game of soccer. It's a human out there calling the games. And referees' decisions are influential. You get some, you don't get some. Brad Davis would hit this penalty, and I mean this penalty had attitude. This penalty screamed out as it was blasted past goalkeeper Nick Raimondo. Now, the problem was more of that attitude was needed during the run of play. So here's how Brad Davis's goal sounded like in the 65th minute to bring the Dynamo back into this one.
The captain delivers with conviction. It is 2-1 now. It's game on here at BBVA Compass Stadium. The Dynamo are back in the 65th minute.
The Dynamo now. We're waiting to see what happens here and how this goal influences the attitude and the way this game goes. And what the powers of scoring a goal at this point will bring to the Dynamo. Will all of a sudden, you know, the fluidity of their game change here? What would happen? Sadly, a quick response would come from Real Salt Lake. They would produce goal number three, deflate the comeback, and the goal was by the new designated player in his first start, Juan Martinez.
And Morales again picking the ball up in a very dangerous area. And he lays it on. It's Nooks over here. It's smashed in. It's 3-1. It's a response. It's Juan Martinez, the Argentine, and it is 3-1 again, orchestrated by Javier Morales.
So the night ends in a disappointment. The Dynamo realized this, with even Brad Davis saying in the locker room the team was fragile in the post-game press conference. Now next up again for the Dynamo is the Philadelphia Union nationally televised match from PPL Park. This has been the frustration of the year. It has been up and down. It has been inconsistent. But for me, I kind of get this. You have to factor in, without a doubt, a ton of injury. You have to factor in how damaging the Gold Cup was for the Dynamo. They lost Jermaine Taylor. Guys get sent away, healthy players, and they come back damaged goods. This is fact. What also is fact is the Dynamo aren't the only team that have had that. Real Salt Lake has had their fair share of injuries this year as well. And it's a team also that I believe is in transition and in a rebuild with Jason Christ moving to New York City FC, Garth Lagerwey. You know, those two guys really were the architects of the purpose of play that became so defined. The Dynamo were in a place under Owen Coyle, who knows what his vision is, but he's in a place of trying to put this purpose of play in place. The Dynamo at 35 points now are still eighth in the Western Conference. They're 6 points behind the Portland Timbers and Sporting Kansas City, who holds the sixth and final playoff spot on 41 points. But don't forget, the San Jose Earthquakes are in seventh. They are on 39 points, so they're very much in this mix as well. So the Dynamo, after their match against Philadelphia without Raul Rodriguez, by the way, they will come home. They will take on Sporting Kansas City next Wednesday and Colorado next Saturday. And I think once the smoke clears on Saturday after Colorado, you're going to really know where playoff-wise the Dynamo will go. But I just think it's important for the Dynamo to finish the season strong, confident, growing. Lots of good young talent has been acquired. This talent is going to need time to simmer and grow and grow into the league. I don't think there's any question. So there's patience that has to be employed here. Now, next year, yes, you have to make the playoffs. I don't think there's any question you're going to have a transfer window to make some moves here in the offseason, et cetera. But the hope for getting in the playoffs is not over, and that's the design of Major League Soccer. That's the way it works with so many teams getting into the playoffs. Yet I will also say now it is much more difficult these days to win an MLS Cup with just the volume of teams in the league and the pot being stirred and teams raising the bar. Vancouver is still atop the Western Conference, who, by the way, the Dynamo beat at home here. They are a point over FC Dallas and L.A., who are on 48. DeMarcus Beasley on the 35-man provisional roster for the U.S. ahead of ahead of that playoff match against Mexico for the right to go to the Confederations Cup. So let's see if Beasley plays this Sunday. I don't think there's any question he was on that provisional roster with the knowledge of Jurgen Klinsmann knowing that he is injured. But the Dynamo can't get him back soon enough. They will be without Raul Rodriguez against Philadelphia due to yellow card accumulation. All right, break time here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Let's bring it tonight. We are giving you insight from Dynamo players, Dynamo coaches, and Tom Marshall also down in Guadalajara, Mexico.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Here is the interview with Eric Cubo Torres from down at training, assisted here by Lester Grescia, the Houston Dynamo, doing the translation. Eric Cubo Torres.
Joining us now, Cubo Torres. Cubo, just let's talk about your progress in getting integrated into the team.
Vamos a hablar un poquito acerca de tu progreso y tu proceso de integración al equipo. Hablamos un poquito acerca de eso.
Bueno, voy poco a poco. Cada vez me siento mejor. Me siento adaptado, no ha sido del todo fácil, ha sido un poquito diferente a la adaptación que tuve en Chivas USA, pero me siento muy contento y me siento feliz de que voy mejorando cada día, ¿no?
It's been a gradual process. It hasn't come as quickly as I probably would have wanted to. It's been, you know, slowly but surely, little by little. And like I said, you know, it hasn't been as easy or as smooth as I would have preferred, or as it was at Chivas USA. But, you know, we're doing things little by little and hoping for the best.
Is it difficult to get to understand your teammates? Does that happen quickly, fast, mixed? How does that happen?
Es difícil el tratar de entender a tus compañeros en el campo de juego o fuera de ellos. O sea, llega fácil, llega difícil. ¿Cómo sucede?
No, claro, no es fácil, no es tan fácil adaptarte o no es tan fácil entrar a un sistema o un esquema en pocas semanas o en pocos días, lleva su tiempo, pero bueno, sin duda el equipo me está ayudando, los compañeros y el cuerpo técnico me están ayudando, me están arropando lo suficiente para que me sienta bien y para que me sienta muy adaptado y me sienta pleno y feliz lo más pronto posible dentro de la cancha, ¿no?
Yeah, it's never an easy process, right? You know, there's always a transition period that you have to go through whether you want to or not. But the thing is, the players and the coaching staff have made it sure that, you know, I get not only adapted but adjusted to the city and the team as quickly as possible, which has made a big difference.
Has it been a little bit more difficult and pressure-filled, the fact that so much, you know, promotion has been made around Cubo and his arrival and scoring goals and all the hype that comes with the media?
Claro, ha creado quizás para ti un poco de presión adicional el hecho de que se hizo mucha promoción, se esperaban grandes cosas de ti, se continúan esperando grandes cosas de ti. Ha creado promoción, más bien presión para ti.
No es presión. Es una responsabilidad, sí. He tenido varios temas en mi carrera en Chivas de Guadalajara. He jugado en un equipo importante en Chivas donde también se maneja muchísima presión. Y bueno, al estar aquí no se genera tanta presión como en otros lados, ¿no? Me siento tranquilo por ese lado. Sé que los goles van a llegar, sé que voy a marcar goles, sé que voy a marcar muchos goles aquí. Simplemente es tener paciencia, estar en el momento ideal y que las bolas caigan. Y los goles van a caer, ¿no? No me siento presionado, no me siento saturado de la cabeza, me siento muy tranquilo y con la mente de que los goles van a caer por sí solos, ¿no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no pressure, at least on my end. It's just knowing that, you know, I was brought here to do one thing and one thing alone, which is to score and to help the team. And I know that the team will create those situations for me. I know that I will score and that the goals will come and that the balls will fall in the right place at the right time. It's just a matter of me doing those things that I need to do in order to put myself in those particular positions. There probably isn't as much pressure here as there was in other situations that I've been involved in. For example, I played for Chivas Guadalajara in Mexico, which is a very important team. You know, at Chivas USA, I had to deal with a certain amount of pressure. So it's just a different situation. The pressure itself is not so much here as there was in other places, and I feel at ease. I know that I will be able to create those situations and put myself in those situations where I can actually score and contribute to the club.
How about his recent trip away, training with the Mexican under-23s, Panama, and I think against Cruz Azul as well?
Obviamente, háblanos un poquito acerca de con la sub-23, de tu viaje con la sub-23. ¿Cómo fue esa experiencia, los juegos que tuviste, la actividad, etcétera, ¿no?
Bien, fueron unos partidos que me ayudaron mucho. Tuve actividad física muy importante, dos entrenamientos por día. Me siento muy bien, ahora estoy mentalizado. Viene un torneo preolímpico para ganar un pase a las Olimpiadas, donde quiero estar convocado. Siento que hice las cosas bien allá. Y bueno, si me toca la oportunidad de estar, sé que lo voy a representar a México de la mejor manera. Y bueno, estoy trabajando también pensando en tener convocatorias a la selección de mi edad, o sea, a la selección mayor. Estoy trabajando aquí día a día para estar allá y bueno, sé que ahora en un poco tiempo hay un torneo preolímpico donde quiero estar y donde hay posibilidades de que pueda representar a mi país, ¿no?
Yeah, no, they were very good games, primarily for the fact that it gave me activity and it gave me the opportunity to play, you know, to have some fly minutes, so to speak. And of course, you know, just keeping an eye on the prize, which is the fact that there is a pre-Olympic tournament that we're trying to participate in and to qualify for an Olympic Games. So right now that's really the goal, right, to continue to be consistent, to play at a consistent level, to be able to qualify to those Olympic Games and to garner call-ups, not only for that, but also for the main national team, for the senior national team, which is the ultimate goal.
What would it mean to Kubo to represent Mexico at an Olympics in Brazil?
¿Qué significaría para ti representar a México en unos Juegos Olímpicos en Brasil?
Bueno, sería la mayor satisfacción, sería un sueño cumplido, sería un sueño que bueno, desde niño lo imaginaba o me podría ver en unas Olimpiadas. Y bueno, ahora está la posibilidad primero de ganar un pase, de ganar la calificación, de ganar el boleto para las Olimpiadas y después seguir trabajando para estar en la lista de profe Raúl Gutiérrez y ganarme un boleto para las Olimpiadas, ¿no? Pero bueno, ahorita estoy mentalizado en trabajar duro para ganar un pase, para estar en las eliminatorias en el preolímpico y después enfocarme en un año más en estar en las Olimpiadas.
Yeah, no, it would be the culmination of a lifelong dream, really, a dream come true. It's something that I've been, you know, planning for and dreaming of since I was a child, right? So that's something that I've been working toward and I continue to work toward. Obviously, you know, we need to do well and to play consistently in order to be able to fit into the plan that Raúl Gutiérrez wants to put together, but you know, again, you know, the goal right now is to first make the team to qualify for that pre-Olympic tournament and then fight for a spot in Brazil.
How about in the Super Clásico, as a young man scoring goals in such a match of importance, a match of grand magnitude in Mexico for Chivas against Club America? Can you reflect a little bit on that moment?
Sí, hablar un poquito acerca de los goles que has anotado en los Super Clásicos en México, ¿no? En su momento, obviamente, es el mayor partido, ¿no? En términos de popularidad y en términos quizás de atención. Habla un poquito acerca de lo que eso significó para ti.
Bueno, son partidos muy importantes, son partidos que siempre voy a recordar. En mi corazón, en mi mente, los voy a llevar presentes. Son partidos especiales, son partidos que todo México los ve. Y bueno, que al final se quedan guardados en la memoria de toda la gente. Los llevo guardados, los goles que pude meter, las participaciones que llegué a obtener, los triunfos en clásicos, son partidos muy bonitos y que siempre los voy a recordar.
Yeah, no, these are very important games that everybody watches, that, you know, people pay attention to and that people remember for a long time to come, even after they're done. So to be able to score in those games and to be able to contribute is just a very nice memory, you know, just a great satisfaction personally and professionally. And, you know, just it means a great deal to me.
Do fans still come up to him and remember and you know, revisit that moment?
No te dicen nada los aficionados de en algún momento de que te vi anotarle a la América en algún momento, ¿no?
Sí, lo recuerdan, como lo comento, se recuerdan esos partidos mucho. Hay mucha gente latina acá que recuerda mi paso por Chivas, que recuerda los clásicos, seguido lo recuerdan y bueno, se siente padre que te recuerden por las actuaciones que hiciste o por los goles que pudiste hacer en partidos tan bonitos como los clásicos, ¿no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, people do still come up and they remember it. Remember, you know, what I just mentioned, the fact that people, you know, reminisce about those games and they stay in people's minds long after they've been played. So again, you know, it's just a very nice feeling to know that people remember those things, especially with games as big as those.
How about getting to know Will Bruin playing next to him? Of course, two strikers have to play as one. It sometimes is difficult. You need minutes to get next to somebody. It's been brief. How is that blossoming, potentially?
¿Qué tal jugar con Will Bruin dentro de la cancha? ¿Qué tal ha sido esa para ti? No, obviamente quizás es un poco difícil por el hecho de que ha sido poco el tiempo que tiene juntos, pero ¿qué tal ha sido para ti?
Bien, cada vez vamos mejorando, cada vez me siento mejor, él también. Nos sentimos muy contentos, ¿no?, de poder estar jugando los dos. En lo personal, me estoy adaptando más a su modo de juego, me estoy adaptando más a jugar con él, pero bueno, al final me siento cómodo, nos sentimos cómodos y sabemos que que si jugamos los dos y hay pelotas en el área va a haber muchos goles para el equipo, ¿no?
Yeah, it's a work in progress. It's a process of mutual adaptation. You know, he's adapting to me, I'm adapting to him, and obviously, as you've mentioned, it's been brief, but of course, you know, we're continuing to work on that dichotomy and that chemistry on the field. But we know that if we continue to work on it and if we continue to improve, the goals will come.
Gracias, Kubo.
Okay, thank you so much.
So that was Eric Kubo Torres here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Stay with us. We're going to take a quick break here, a Bud Light break. But when we come back, it's Giles Barnes on the Dynamo.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
The Dynamo hoping that Giles Barnes this Sunday will be in good form against the Philadelphia Union down at PPL Park. A huge game, the first of three games in 8 days for the Houston Dynamo.
All right, time now to visit with Dynamo striker and midfielder Giles Barnes. Giles, thank you very much, as always, for coming on the program.
No problem, Glenn. How are you?
All right, very good. More importantly, how are you? Let's talk about the miles logged here, the games, and how difficult it is to get rejuvenated at this point for you.
You know, I look forward to playing every game of football, but if you look at my season, it's been so much traveling, a lot of 90-minute football, highs and lows of tournament football, lows of winning games, losing games. You just have to try and just keep yourself fresh and ready to go.
The regularity now of international football for you with Jamaica and the volume of two tournaments, Copa America, Gold Cup, onto the qualifying, was this something that you might not have been prepared for?
You know, I think obviously I've been struggling with Achilles tendonitis as well for the last like 3 months. So, you know, to miss 2 months of the Dynamo season was a bit of a killer for me as well. All the traveling, tournament games, you're playing every 3 days. Sometimes it's on top of turf, you know, those things didn't help. But, you know, you have to get on with it, you know, so it's a blessing that I'm even playing international football and playing for the Dynamo as well.
Are you feeling pressure now? Because guys like me are out there going, you know, Giles Barnes has got to put it in overdrive. The Dynamo need Giles Barnes now, and it's coming from a lot of sources. Does that make you feel pressure?
Not really, to be honest with you, you know. I kind of like that little bit of expectation. I feel every time I'm playing, I'm feeling like people are trying to get a little bit closer to me, you know. I'm always doubled up on every time I get the ball. So, you know, I think everyone else is kind of expecting me to do something where, you know, sometimes you can't do it all the time. But it's not through lack of want or lack of trying.
Okay, so the Vancouver game, I saw a little bit of that explosion really return. Mm-hmm. And that seems to have come back. Is that just part and parcel of feeling a little bit more rested, getting the ball in better areas of the field? What's that related to?
I think it's getting more 1v1 situations, you know. I think basically since I came back from Copa, you know, we played the Dallas game. I played central midfield. Then I went to, what was the game after? Might have been San Jose, so I'm in central midfield again. You know, the last couple of games I played wide left and pretty high, so it's allowed me to get into those, you know, 1v1 situations. But, you know, at the beginning of the year I was playing as a striker and was scoring goals and doing other things. But, you know, my role in the team changed because of injuries and international breaks and those kind of things. And, you know, you just have to accept your responsibility in other ways.
And I know Owen Coyle's, you know, working with the lineup and he's deploying you in different areas, trying to infiltrate other people's into the team like Kubo Torres, et cetera. Where do you feel best and where do you feel most comfortable? And I know you might give me the standard area or the standard answer of wherever the coach wants me, but where do you feel best?
Yeah, you know, as I said too many times before, I'll play wherever the coach wants me to play, but, you know, I think my stats kind of speak for themselves when I play as a striker. I don't think in the first 9 games of the season, plus the back end of last year, I think only Obafemi Martins has scored more goals than me in the league, you know, and that was me playing as an out-and-out striker. But, you know, sometimes it happens when you can play various positions, you know, you get chopped and changed about, but at the end of the day, I don't really care about my own stats. I just want to help the team in whatever's best way I can.
Okay, you got pushed up in the second half in this last match against Real Salt Lake, and obviously it made you look at the game differently. How?
On a personal view, obviously it was nice to be back up top, you know, kind of a little bit closer to goal. But you know, it wasn't the result that we wanted at all. So we've kind of got to regroup it and realise that these last games we've got are they're make or break. You know, it's live or die, and we want to be in the playoffs, and we still believe that there's a big way that we can get into the playoffs as well.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this little bit of a run here down the road in this last game against Real Salt Lake. I heard Brad Davis use the word fragile after the game. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about it? Because it seemed like they came in and really took authority
at your home field.
I agree with Brad, you know. Brad's an experienced player, played international football, been around the Dynamo for many years, you know. And I feel we was fragile as well, I feel we was a little bit soft, you know. Allow a team to come in here and play that kind of way against us, you know, not following runners and that kind of thing. But everyone's got to realise it's not for a lack of want. Like, our team is not like that. It's not for a lack of trying, you know. It just didn't work for us on that day, you know. But we'll be doing everything on the training field that we can to get it right for the next game.
Yeah, how does that work? Because we all know you're in the locker room going, look, this is the beginning of a great opportunity, 3 out of 4 at home. We all know that you guys are going out there to win the game. And then all of a sudden, it just doesn't come to fruition, even though you feel as though you might have prepared as well as you could have.
Yeah, you know, you can take that to any kind of sport, you know. I'm sure Usain Bolt, you know, top sprinter, he's expected to win every single race. He doesn't, you know. And when it doesn't, it's like the world kind of comes crashing down. But it's not for a lack of trying or a lack of want, you know. We know exactly where we wanted to be at the beginning of the season. We know that we want to be at the end of the season. But I think after all the transition that we've gone through, the young players that we've gotten have, you know, embedded into the team, what Owen and the staff have done has been fantastic to still be there. With international breaks and all the injuries we've had to key players, you know. For me, Ricardo's been our best player the whole year. I'm not frightened to say that. You know, the games I watched when I was away as well, you know, when he's missing, he's a big player for me, and I know for the rest of the boys as well. The amount of ground that he covers and his influence on the pitch, you know. He's a big player to miss, but that's not taken away from people that have been playing in this position. But it's injuries like that happen throughout the year that you need to try and get over and try to make the best ways possible.
Charles Barnes joining us here, and ahead of the Dynamo, we'll take on the Philadelphia Union this Sunday. You've got a couple of days to rest here. Going back to the Real Salt Lake game, Javier Morales, again, was a guy that was circled before the game. Everybody knows that if he's on the ball a lot, he's going to hurt you. Ultimately, this is what happened. Was this a collective breakdown? I mean, were there man-marking assignments? How did you deal with Javier Morales? Because this guy just continued to get on the ball.
Yeah, he did. He continued to make passes. You know, he was on the ball constantly. For me, you know, I didn't feel he made killer passes every time he got the ball. I just thought he was very active throughout the game. And, you know, when someone's given that kind of role where they can pop up left, pop up right, go and collect the ball at the back four, you can't really assign someone to run with someone like that. You know, I know he made a few key passes during the game, but for me, he was just active throughout the game. He wasn't sitting there tearing us apart. You know, so I don't think there's anyone to blame or anything like that, you know. He's a good player at the end of the day, and we've got to manage to stop these good players.
All right, you've gone through the highs and lows of soccer. You've had the injuries, you've had the ups, you've knocked the U.S. out of a Gold Cup. You've done pretty much everything there is in the game in a variety of ways and been in many, many, many different situations. If you look at Eric Cubo Torres right now, he seems like he has a little weight of the world on him. And what is it going to take to kind of get him over the top right now? Where do you see him as a teammate?
I love him to bits. I think he's a funny person. He's great to have around. He's a good player, you know. I think as soon as he hits the back of the net, that's going to be the key thing for him. He's a striker that scored a lot of goals in all of his career. So, you know, and he's obviously started near enough everywhere he's been as well. I mean, you can kind of say maybe not so much at Chivas just then, but, you know, that's maybe why that he's taken a little bit longer to transition, because he's not been playing consistent games. But for me, you can see his touch, you can see his strength, you know, for a young boy. He's got good movement. If you watch him in training, he doesn't slack, you know. He puts the ball in the back of the net. So I think once that first one goes in, he's going to be really good.
As one of the leaders of the team, how do you see the final games playing out here? And what's important? Like, because I've mentioned it to you before, I think it's an overachievement, like you mentioned earlier in this interview, if you guys get to the playoffs. I know nobody wants to hear that. What's most important? Just playing the season out well? Making the playoffs? If you don't make the playoffs, is that a setback? How do you see it?
For me, it's getting in the playoffs, you know. It's a difficult one, you know. I personally don't think we would have overachieved if we get in there, because I think after everything we've dealt with, you know, as I said, injuries, international, people missing for long extended periods of time, to still be in there shows the character of this squad, you know. And it's something that, you know, the leaders of the team, as you said, me, Brad, Bees, Rico, have kind of got to drag everyone else through, you know, the people with not so much experience. We've got to grab them by the scruff of the neck and try and do it, you know. And we're always not going to play perfect, you know, but there's that kind of, how can I say, not authority, that's the wrong word, but people were kind of looking to us to kind of, you know, bring them and drag them through. And I think that's what's important with our core group of players.
All right. Is there a healthy pressure in this locker room right now? Because, look, you have a new coach here. You have a new manager. Everybody knows the team in some ways is in a rebuild and a transition. Is there a healthy pressure that people are certainly in their livelihood concerned about jobs?
Yeah, I think it should be. I think it's always healthy to have that kind of thing, you know. If you don't play well and you don't come and bring it every day in training, as I said, you're not going to play well every game. You can't. It's not possible. But, you know, if you're not showing the right attitude, then you don't deserve the job. And I don't think you can say that about any one of our players, that we haven't got the right attitude or we've not got the right hunger, you know. Everyone comes into training, they're ready and raring to go. You know, it's 100 degrees here every day. It's easy to throw in the towel, but everyone's out here running around and doing their best. So everyone wants their job, but obviously there is that pressure, you know. People come to the end of contracts, you know. So it's one of those things that maybe they do have it on their mind. But at the end of the day, if you do well on the pitch, it will be taken care of it.
All right, quick word on the Premier League. What's the biggest thing that stood out to you this year?
To be honest with you, Man United have kind of... I can't put my finger on it, whether they're going to be good, whether they're going to be miss-hit again. So, it's you know, they've just got in... is it Martel? They've just brought in Martial, however you pronounce his name. He looks lively. He looks like could be useful. Memphis, when he gets going, is going to be useful. Rooney's still to hit form. You know, and these are top players in the world. You're still talking about them not playing well and not scoring goals. So, you know, as I was going to say, refer to Kubo, you know, who can be a very, very great player. He's just got to look at those kind of players and realise what their attitude is. And he's got that kind of mentality where he knows that once the ball goes in the back of the net, it will be good.
Surprised that Chelsea's 11 points off the lead after only 5 rounds of English Premier League play. And a little humility maybe coming out of the manager, the special one, Jose Mourinho?
I don't know. You know, for me, Chelsea don't play great football. So, you know, I think people have kind of realised a way to kind of stop them. You know, if you can get Hazard off the ball, and you can stop Costa. You know, they're not a team that cuts you apart like an Arsenal when they get the ball flowing and going. You know, so. I'm buzzing that they are. You know, as you know, I'm an Arsenal fan, so to see Chelsea where they are is absolutely brilliant for me.
Oh, a jab at Chelsea. Hey, how about that bonus coverage on the Premier League with Giles Barnes? We'll take a break here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, soccer fans. Each and every week we have the great opportunity to speak to the manager of the Houston Dynamo, Owen Coyle, who takes us inside the team. Here is part one with Dynamo manager Owen Coyle. Owen, thank you very much. And understanding you're on a way to a crossbar challenge with Kubo Torres, Giles Barnes, yourself, put on by Audi.
Yeah, it's they're one of our esteemed partners, as you know, Glenn, and it's a great opportunity for obviously myself, Giles, and Kubo to mix with some of their staff. They've got 3 obviously different branches, and some of their employees are going to take part in the crossbar challenge to see what branch comes out top. So I think myself and 3 of the lads from Audi West, we're certainly looking to win that one. It'll be a bit of fun, and it's great to show our partners that they're really involved with the club.
Yeah, and Audi, so involved in the world of soccer these days. Of course, they hold the Audi Cup in Munich, Germany, with Bayern Munich every 2 years as well. All right, well, let's get into the Houston Dynamo, because that's why we're here tonight. Let's talk a little bit about this game against Real Salt Lake. And just first, let's get your overall general impressions. I did watch your press conference after the game. I could sense a real frustration. Brad Davis mentioned he thought the team was a bit fragile. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think all of that, Glenn. The biggest single one was the frustration. The frustration of losing the game. We were unbeaten, as you know, for over 4 months at home, and it was a proud record, one we wanted to keep intact. And when I give balance to the game, as I always do, we didn't actually play badly in the game, and you know this because you covered it, Glenn. Offensively, we created so many clear-cut chances. I mean, Nick Romando was the goalkeeper of the week in the MLS. In 3, I thought, outstanding saves and some other ones that you would probably expect them to save. And the frustration was that we never defended well enough, and we conceded soft goals, and we conceded one right in the stroke of half-time, so all of a sudden you're chasing the game. Well, we came out, started the second half, and in terrific form, should and could have scored, and then all of a sudden found ourselves 2 down. We pick ourselves up again, get back in the game, and in 2-1 I felt really confident we were going and win with the backing of the fantastic support we have. And we never gave ourselves a chance. Within 2 minutes, we're giving a soft goal away, and we're looking to play catch-up again. So it was a frustrating night. There's no getting away from that. Did we perform to our maximum? No. But there was a lot of good stuff as well. So when all said and done, when it was a game that we lost, and we felt we could and should have won, and that would have put us right in the mix for trying to attain the playoff spot. We're still in there with a great chance, but all we're doing every week is given by losing that type of game is giving ourselves a harder task. But we've got ready for Philadelphia. We'll pick the bones of it. Again, we'd love to have a fit and healthy squad. We've not been afforded that luxury all season, but what we have available, we'll make the best of, and that's what we do moving into Philadelphia.
So it's one game at a time, but if I looked at that first half, and you absolutely had a clear-cut chance with Ricardo Clark, carved out beautifully. Raimondo made a great save. Would have put you up 1-0. But if I look at the overall first half, and the statistics would back this up, Real Salt Lake really seemed to come out, and it seemed to have a little bit more of an edge, seemed a little bit more urgent to me, and won the battle of possession in the first half. Was that a little disappointing to you? Because, you know, I know you preach consistency, and this is not something you can click your fingers, obviously, and get overnight with a new team and new players and all the transition that's going on. But was that a little disappointing to you at home based on the fact that you came into this one with such a great home record?
Yeah, I think there's some merit in that, Glenn. I think when all said and done, the way to, as you know, to retain possession and be the team that's bossing the game is to pass and move the ball well enough. And again, we know the surface wasn't ideal, but it was the same for both teams. And what I felt was, I don't think when I look back in the game, I never felt particularly threatened in respect of the ball that Salt Lake had. The extra man in the middle, because obviously we went with two strikers, with Derek Torres, with Will Bruin, but they never ever at any point, I think Tyler Derrick had one save and from Plata, they had a free kick that wasn't a free kick to begin with. So as much as they had a little bit of possession, Glenn, they never really were cutting us open, but I do believe that we should have taken care of the ball better. And when we did, as you mentioned, we had the best chance in the first half with Ricardo Clark, and that was after some very good play. And if we'd have scored the goal, as you know, the goals change games in the MLS. First goal's always, always important. And that would have then, I certainly think, been the catalyst for us to go and win the game 2-0 or 3-0. But the margins, Glenn, are so fine in this league, and you have to make sure when good chances, and not good chances, for me, gilt-edged chances, present themselves through hard work and good play, that you have to take them. We didn't do that the other night, and we lost soft goals, and that was the story of the game. You know, there's always a tendency when you lose a game to overanalyze it. And when you win a game, you know, people think, oh, you're Real Madrid, you lose a game. You've got to give balance, you've got to understand the reasons for it. We certainly do. We know that the goals we conceded have been very soft. And having said that, we've improved beyond recognition in respect of the amount of goals that the club conceded last year in the Eastern Conference. But it's still an area that we can get better to do that. Do you want your full personnel fit and healthy to help you? Of course you do. But within what we've got, we can still do better in terms of not giving up those soft goals. And that really was the frustration for me, Glenn, within the game. Even then, in the 47th minute, with the 2 minutes added, we've got to make sure that we come in at 0-0. We had a free kick, 46 minutes and 15 seconds, 45 seconds of the half length, and we've kicked a big ball to the wing. We've lost possession, and we've conceded the goal from that point. We've got to understand how to game manage, and that comes again with those the young players and everything else, integrating learning as you get through this process. As I said before, we know there's hard work ahead of us, but we also know as well we've put a lot of hard work in already.
So that was sort of a decision time relative to score that's got to be better at that point.
Yeah, it's game management. You play the game, you know what it's about. I certainly know. And this is something we're trying to, you know, teach and learn these players how to do that. How to understand when a game, it might be late on in a game, but you're going to go up, how to manage that game and make sure you get your 3 points. And so I think that comes with, you know, it comes with game awareness, soccer intelligence, all those bits we speak about. But the talking and everything else, you then have to implement it. And as I said to the players, when they step onto that field, that's when they have to bring those the attributes, the qualities that we're looking for.
Now, I'm going to go to Javier Morales because a lot of people say the number 10 is dead and all that. And I guess I could argue it either way. It's a fun topic to debate, that's for sure. But Javier Morales last year, as you know, came in here, scored a hat-trick, scored 15 seconds in. I know you talked about this man and this player. Yet at the end of this night, he got on the ball a lot. And he also was a part of all three goals. So, I mean, strictly, we talked a lot in the pregame, and this is a very simplistic view, I understand. But we said if you control Javier Morales tonight, this is a big plus for you. How come the team couldn't control him a little bit better? Because it seemed to me, and I could be wrong, and I want it from you, because what I have to say doesn't really matter as much. How did he get on the ball so much? Because he got it in good areas at times, and he was sort of drifting in between the midfield and in front of the Dynamo back four.
Well, very simply, the reason he got the ball ground is because we gave it away in cheap possession. When all said and done, you know, when people, wherever they were line up, whether they line up with a number 10, whether they line up with two strikers, whether they line up with two wingers, in terms of shape and everything else, the game will be dictated by who takes care of the ball better. If I come to play you and you're having a four, you're in a 4-4-2, and I'm playing a 3-5-2, and my players take care of the ball and pass and move the ball, I'm going to dictate the pace of the game to you, Glenn. I'm the team that's going to be in charge because I'm taking care of the ball better. And there was an element of that. I mean, Javi Morales, he scored the goal. I've got to say, the first goal, when you know, we're not reflecting it, not taking off. Sandoval's offside, Glenn.
Yes, so of course.
That's the first. And as I said before, there's always this, that you people overanalyze everything else. If that decision is given correctly, you're still 0-0. And the game, as far as I'm concerned, be very even. We had the best chance in the first half, and we never took it. Morales is a good player. He's been a good player for many, many years. Giovinco's a good player. But when you, as I say, take care of the ball, then it restricts the opportunity they get. And it's, when all said and done, I think Morales had the goal he scored, even then, when the ball breaks them twice for two of their goals, as you know. So it bits and pieces. But I think because they've won the game, then it's highlighted more. Mm-hmm. If, as I say, we score the first goal with Ricardo Clark, then Javier Morales wouldn't be getting mentioned.
Now, was Juan Martinez, their new DP, the 29-year-old Argentine who played at Boca Juniors, you know, this was only his second game. I thought his desire, his edge, his effort also lent a lot to Real Salt Lake, and it may be a very timely signing for him because he seemed very active, and that guy was playing like it was a World Cup final.
Yeah, well, obviously, they spent a lot of money on coming in. I think it was over $1 million, wasn't it? They've invested in him and everything else. So that tells you that he's a very good player to begin with, Glenn. So there's no getting away from that. And, of course, he wants to show everybody his quality. He's been playing, he's fresh, he's fit, he's got everything, all those qualities. And to be fair to him, he scored a good goal. Having said that, you've played the game long enough, Glenn, to know that that goal was so easily avoidable from our point of view. Yeah. And again, it's one of those ones, because somebody scored a goal, then they want to talk about. If you don't score the goal, I think there's been very little mention. But when all said and done, he looks a good player, and I think he'll do well for Salt Lake.
So part one ends here, the first hour of Dynamo All Access on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. We'll take a break here. When we come back, more from the manager.
When we return, we'll sit down with former quarterback Brad Johnson and Rod, he hate me smart.